welcome back to the studio two guests who have been with us in the past from the health department. The Napa County Health Officer, Dr. Karen Relucio, is here, and also Jennifer Henn is with us, and welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Barry. Thanks
for being here. Recently, maybe the last time you were on with us, we talked about one of the primary health concerns we have in Napa County being simply obesity and smoking, I think, were two of the topics we talked about. All the other things we worry about, diseases we might catch, are actually less of a concern than the things we do to ourselves, basically. Speak to that a little bit.
Yes. This is Karen Relucio. So we have done our community health assessment. So our community health assessment is basically a state of the health of the county. And we are going to release it at the end of the month. The number one cause of death in Napa County is cancer, followed by heart disease and stroke. As you had alluded to, before, Barry, we talked about factors that actually contribute to these top causes of death, which is mainly overweight and obesity, as well as tobacco.
Mm-hmm. So what's your role in this, Catherine? Come a little closer.
It's Jennifer.
Sorry.
and I'm the manager over the Chronic Disease and Health Equity Unit within Public Health. So that includes epidemiologists, who are actually responsible for producing most of the data in the assessment. And then our unit also has some programs that are working on directly addressing some of the issues that Dr. Relucio just referred to. Mm-hmm. So working on nutrition education and obesity prevention, working on tobacco control, because we recognize these as the biggest drivers toward, in terms of our chronic disease problems, and mm-hmm. the areas where we can make the most impact in terms of moving the needle on these diseases.
Yeah. And what methods would be applied to move that needle?
Well, we are really interested in policy, systems, and environment change. So not just influencing individual behavior, but also kind of looking at factors in our environment that make the healthy choice the easier choice for people to make. So that could be the built environment. You know, if physical activity is a normal part of our day and our routine, and if that's safe and easy for us to do, we're going to see declines in obesity rates over time. Same with access to healthy food. We're looking at ways to improve access to healthy food for everybody in the community, regardless of income level.
Mm-hmm.
So those are a couple of examples, yeah. And they also apply to tobacco, looking at retailers. How many retailers in the county sell tobacco? And what can we do to influence that? Because retail, especially close to schools and high schools, can influence children's smoking behavior.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you were describing with the built environment, we're talking about things like access to a place to take a walk or to ride your bike, right? Those
exactly.
kind of things?
Exactly, that's correct.
Uh-huh. And we've been doing pretty well in this community in those regards, haven't we?
You know, I think that there's always room for improvement. So I think that, you know, examples include there are some neighborhoods where there's not much sidewalk around the schools
or
there's lack
all.
Of lighting
yeah.
or none at all. Yeah. So sometimes what we'll see is kids walking to school in the side of the road or mm-hmm. else, an elderly person in a wheelchair wheeling in the side of the road. So it's not necessarily the safest choice at some points.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty broad scope, isn't it, for people in the health business to be looking at essentially planning and zoning and other issues. How do you make a difference in that area?
Well, part of it is being involved in the conversation and also educating on the role of public health in built environment issues. So I'm going to go back to, you know, a century ago where before, with infectious diseases, it was really based on what individuals could do to prevent infectious diseases. So, you know, it meant boiling your water, making sure that there was proper disposal of your sewage. And now what's happened is it's built into the system. So you can go and turn on your faucet and have hot water that's clean. You can flush your toilets and you don't have to worry about it. I mean, in most cases, you know, you don't have to worry about having to dig your own cesspool. You can go to a restaurant and eat food that has been prepared safely according to, you know, according to regulations. So I think that what we have now is we are treating chronic disease like having individual choices. And people that have more means can actually make those choices, but people that don't have the means don't have the choice. So, you know, going, an example, going to a fast food restaurant is much cheaper than, you know, eating fruits and vegetables. Buying a can of soda costs less than buying a bottle of water. So these are some examples of what we're seeing in our environment that is making it harder for people to make the healthy choice.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that ironic when a soda is mostly water anyway, but it's water with other things added to it?
Yeah, and, about 10 pack of sugar.
And it's less than the water itself. Strange world we live in. Let's talk for a second about coming back to the cancer rate, because this was part of the first, I think, time we talked about having you on the show, was to speak to the question of whether or not Napa County has a higher than normal cancer rate. And the conversation led us to, well, let's talk about why cancer occurs, and it's may not be the causes that people think of, that it's some kind of chemical or it's some kind of external force on you that you don't have control over. So let's address that question for a second. Do we have in Napa County a higher than normal cancer rate, considering our demographics and our population and all of that?
So I think that when we talk about our cancer rate, we often talk about how Napa County ranks in comparison to other counties in California. And it is true that we do tend to rank towards the top in terms of both incidence of new cases and mortality. But the important thing to remember about rankings is that somebody always has to be first and somebody always has to be last. And it doesn't tell the whole story of what's happening. So even though we rank higher than some other counties in California, what we're actually seeing is a steady decline in both our new cases of cancer and our overall death rate from cancer. And so I think it's important to look at also what's happening in terms of trends in these diseases. Mm-hmm. And the other important thing that I would mention is that new cases of cancer are often influenced by screening tests, which are designed to detect cancers early. So having higher cases of cancer diagnosed is sometimes due to use of things like mammography, prostate cancer screening, colonoscopy, and these are actually good things, right? Because you're identifying cancer early when it can be treated. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of a byproduct of screening, is having higher cancer rates. And we see higher screening rates in populations that have good access to healthcare. And we know in Napa County, when we look at our health insurance rates, we see higher rates of health insurance compared to other counties. We have a higher median income than many of our surrounding counties as well. And so that also increases access to health care.
Mm-hmm. So to the cancer rate, the rate of incidence, is based on diagnosis? Is that how it's derived?
That's right. So when a doctor diagnoses a new case of cancer, that information is fed into a registry for, so all new cases of cancer go into a registry for the entire state of California.
So if you live in an area where people, A, don't go to the doctor, they may be dying from the same things. They may be dying from them more than in other places, but there's just no stats to support that.
Well, I think that it's really important to distinguish the difference between a new diagnosis of cancer and cancer mortality. So even though we have higher incidence, meaning higher detections of new cancers, mm-hmm. Or new diagnoses of cancers, our mortality rates are lower. Mm-hmm. So, this is a pattern that's seen in, areas where there's higher socioeconomic status. Mm-hmm. So, we look at our neighboring counties such as Marin and Sonoma. They follow pretty much very similar patterns, and we happen to trade, first through fifth place, depending on the year.
Mm-hmm.
This is what is seen.
And again, that's pointing actually to affluence and access to doctors. And to what degree does age factor into that? Napa County's always had a somewhat older than average population.
That's right. And unfortunately, age is one of those important risk factors for cancer that we cannot change. But what we do with our data, however, is age adjust, which means that we are, when the analyses are done, we are doing an adjustment that makes us comparable to other counties. So when we do these rankings, for example, that should be removing the effect of age.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm kind of pressing this question because it's come up so many times, and I like to know the facts. I don't like to base my opinions on anecdotal information. Is there anything in any of this data that suggests that we have a pesticide-caused cancer rate, a chemically charged environment that's causing cancers?
You know, our data does not suggest that. So I think that before, you know, we make any – I think there's a common misperception that something in the air or some chemical or some exposure, specific exposure, is what's causing increased cancer rates. And I think it's important to go back to what the facts are around cancer. So cancer is really 80 different diseases. So depending on the cell type in your body that decides to divide and reproduce out of control – there's different factors that contribute to cancers in those tissues. I think the other thing is, there's over 115 confirmed carcinogens, but there's over 600 suspected carcinogens. And these can include things like the sun, diesel particulate matter, infections such as, viral hepatitis, HIV, human papillomavirus. There's other viruses that contribute to that. There are some genetic factors that – so it's so complex. And I'm going to talk about why it's so difficult to pin down a cause. I'm going to compare an infection to cancer. So let's say I get – exposed to the influenza virus. And, in 3 to 5 days, I developed the flu. You can actually diagnose it. You can actually take a laboratory test to know that that's a cause. And there's a characteristic incubation period from the time that you're exposed to flu and then you develop symptoms. So it's easier with an infection to understand what the cause is. Cancer is a lifetime of exposures. So let's say I were to develop breast cancer next year. I have to look at all my exposures. First of all, genetic predisposition. So, I have 2 first-degree relatives that have had cancer, so I am at risk. But am I going to blame it on living in Napa County? No, I can't because, I can tell you in my lifetime I lived 5 miles from a nuclear power plant during childhood. I lived close to a highway when I was, for 4 years in medical school. I've done a lot of things that probably, including, eating junk food and other exposures. And it takes a long period of time to develop cancer. So it takes a genetic change. So there's one hit to the genes that change it, and then it takes a second hit. It's usually a 2-hit hypothesis, and you're talking about decades of exposure, and it's really hard to pin it down. And this is why it is really hard to to pinpoint that cancer is caused by a particular chemical. But there are many out there that could contribute to that, and there are many other factors.
Yeah. We're talking with Dr. Karen Relucio and Jennifer Henn from Napa County's Health Department, Health Division, Health and Environmental. I can never get this name
public
right.
Health.
Yeah, public health. I made it so hard. It's a very interesting conversation, and I was pressing on that because of our desire to find the simple answer, to say, oh, well, that's because of, and you're done with it. And also because it's a lot easier to blame an external factor than your own bad habits, right? So how does obesity cause cancer? How does just being fat give you cancer?
Well, what we know is that overweight and obesity is associated with about 40% of common cancers. And I'll probably defer to Dr. Relucio a little bit more on this. But I know that, when you're overweight and you're carrying around those excess pounds, your body is experiencing some chronic low-level inflammation, continuously. And I understand that to be, one of the ways that obesity contributes to cancer. It also contributes to other diseases like diabetes, and that in itself can be a risk factor for certain cancers like pancreatic cancer. There was a national report just recently that came out on pancreatic cancer, which has been increasing across the United States. And that's a cancer that's linked to tobacco. And so researchers were unsure why it was increasing, because tobacco use has actually been declining. And the key answer that they ended up coming up with was the increase in obesity, driving that increase that we're seeing in pancreatic cancer. And so some of these things like obesity and tobacco use, they seem mundane. They're not really exciting. People don't get excited talking about it. But these are the key drivers to our cancer rates. And if we ended tobacco use in Napa County, I know that sounds like a wild thing to say, but it would dramatically change our cancer rates. Mm-hmm. One in every three of our cancer deaths is linked to tobacco use.
Wow. One out of three. And I think I'd be remiss not to ask about the vaping and e-cigarette connection in the sense that there's been this huge increase among young people in vaping, which may then be the stepping stone to the actual cigarette. Speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, so vaping is actually, there's still nicotine products in vaping e-cigarette liquid. There's carcinogens in there, just what you would see in cigarette smoke. And I think it's going to take several years to understand what the contribution of e-cigarettes and vaping is to cancer. However, what we can say is that there's a lot of dual use. So people that use e-cigarettes or they vape also tend to use traditional tobacco products. So what we're seeing is a lot of youth getting introduced to vaping products that are marketed to have candy and fruity flavors. And then, which then produces our next generation of smokers.
Yeah.
None of the studies have shown that vaping actually leads to cessation. Leads more or less to dual use.
Yeah, it's been one of those frauds perpetrated on us by people who want to make money. Is there any restriction on the sale of those products locally? Is there any movement toward restricting them?
At the current time, there isn't restriction on selling that. I know that there are some communities that have moved to actually, to put out ordinances mm-hmm. to limit the sale, and it mm-hmm. really just depends on, we would be successful in that if there was the political will to do so.
Mm-hmm. It's been pretty effective with cigarettes to keep raising the taxes too on the product to where it's disincentive to buy it.
Yeah. And I believe the FDA is looking at banning flavors currently, which is something that we are really hoping will pass. And the reason they're doing that is because they realize the lure this is to kids to mm-hmm. start using. And, of course, nicotine is addictive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just, the vaping. It's the drug in that product that's, creating these lifelong smokers.
Yeah. Absolutely. And the farce of thinking that you're creating a product to help people quit smoking, but you're flavoring it with all these things that are nothing like flavors that existing smokers are getting. So what is the connection there? That's one of the most ridiculous claims I've ever heard. Okay. We're out of time. Really good information. Thank you, Dr. Karen Relucio and Jennifer Henn from the Public Health Department, County of Napa. And we hope you'll be regular guests and keep us informed of things we need to know.
Thank you.
Even when we don't want to hear them. That's it for the morning show for today, 8:57. Stay tuned. Judd Finkelstein up next with Big Napa Valley Radio Show. I'm Barry Martin. Talk to you tomorrow.